I'm Marianne Kolbasuk-McGee, executive editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Troy Hawes, who is managing director at consulting firm Moss Adams. We're going to be discussing threats facing the healthcare sector involving AI-fueled attacks. So, Troy, despite the AI-driven advancements that we're hearing so much about in healthcare, we know that cyber criminals are also looking for ways to use AI to their advantage. So how do you think AI-fueled cyber attacks will make healthcare sector entities potentially more vulnerable to cyber criminals?
Really, what cyber criminals are doing, they're using AI to their advantage. They're really trying to exploit vulnerabilities in like medical devices or compromise electronic health records, disrupt critical healthcare services. With AI, they're able to do that quicker. They're able to automate and scale their attacks and really become more efficient and sophisticated, which is scary. The machine learning algorithms that they're able to use, they can be trained to kind of find and then exploit software vulnerabilities. And really that can overwhelm systems as well as the defenses that an organization might employ. And kind of the last thing I always think about is once an attacker has access to the systems, they're again able to leverage AI to analyze kind of the large databases or data sets, really looking for that valuable data, which is really patient personal identifiable information or their actual health information that they can then use for identity theft, fraud, or to actually then escalate a ransomware attack.
So, Troy, you mentioned the risk of cyber criminals getting into the networks, then also taking advantage of AI to do what they want to do with the data that's in their victims' systems. When it comes to the actual AI-fueled attacks, what sorts of things are you most worried about? Are they phishing? Are there other sorts of incidents that you think that the cyber criminals will be taking advantage of in terms of the AI-fueled tools that they have, you know, at their disposal?
The way I think about it, it's not necessarily the type of attack. It's more the sophistication and I'd say ease of the attack that is most worrisome. Because the types of attacks haven't changed. They're still compromising credentials. They're still using ransomware, social engineering attacks. Now they're just more sophisticated. And that's really the use of AI. You look at like social engineering, the ability to create these phishing emails now to be more legitimate looking and kind of mimic a pattern of communication that their target might have. Or with deep fakes and the use of voice mimicry software, now just getting a call from somebody may be harder to detect. And really those are really to, you know, fool those people that they're attacking. What I've seen is a lot of success with the use of both the email followed up with a phone call. So they send a phishing email, and then what they do is they follow that up with an actual phone call, and that phone call makes it seem like it's more legitimate to that person that they've targeted. And that's where we're seeing a lot more personnel falling victim to these attacks, because it seems more real this way. And it's harder to catch that from an employee perspective. So it's really the same types of attacks. It's just the sophistication and the speed in which they can do them, I think, is the most worrisome.
And Troy, what types of healthcare sector entities do you think will find themselves potentially either falling victim of these sorts of attacks or the targets of these attacks? Are there certain kinds of entities that you think the cyber criminals will be trying to take advantage of most?
Yeah, it's everybody. It's all, it really comes down to what they're after. So different cyber criminals, different attackers have different methods, different ways to go about it, but all healthcare sector entities are vulnerable and targets of these attacks. And the you can think of this, if your organization has sensitive data like that personal private data, that makes it an even bigger target. Or if you're an organization like a hospital that needs to have patient care being ongoing and it's critical for operations to be available at all times, again, attackers are looking at trying to take those systems offline, maybe through a ransomware attack, and hoping that they're going to get paid because the hospital entity may need to pay in order to get back and operational quicker. And so a lot of times that's going to be the maybe the more focused targets just because of that.
Troy, as it is, a recent study found that 75% of healthcare sector entities that do suffer ransomware attacks end up finding that their data does get encrypted by cyber criminals before the victims are able to detect they've even been hit or have had time to take action. And those numbers are even higher than in past surveys. Why do you think so many healthcare sector entities today already find themselves falling victim to ransomware encryption and other serious attacks? What are some of the things that maybe aren't being done that they should be paying more attention to and then perhaps ramp up even with these AI-fueled attacks?
To me, it comes down to a number of reasons. So usually it's the lack of good monitoring and alerting systems. Oftentimes it's just limited security budgets. And adding to that, your IT, your security personnel are overworked. They're overtaxed with all of the systems that they're trying to keep operational and running. And then the systems that are providing these alerts, either they don't have time to actually investigate properly or do a good investigation to identify the attack before the data actually gets encrypted. One of the things that I actually found interesting was, according to that report, the dwell time, so that's the time the attacker actually has on the network. So when the attack starts to when it's detected is around 5 days. So if you think about that, that's a long time for an attacker to have access to a network, to systems before they're even found out. So that's one of those reasons why the data actually does get encrypted. They're just not being identified in time. I think also one of the other reasons that healthcare does fall victim is the use of the technology that's in place. So whether that's the medical devices being used, or oftentimes there's outdated or end-of-life technology being used, these medical devices, this outdated technology may not be patched properly, may have bug fixes that need to be patched, but they're not, because they're older, they're more vulnerable to attack. So once an attacker is able to actually find these systems, then that helps get them access to potentially the network, and then from there find ways to move laterally through the network or do other things to start identifying the data that they're most likely after, wanting to go after that ransomware attack or just exfiltration of the data. One of the other things that I've actually seen is more of a convenience factor. So what I mean by that is oftentimes best practices around like passwords, using long, complex passwords, or not sharing passwords, or not using multi-factor authentication, are all due to they're inconvenient to caregivers because caregivers are trying to get access to a patient record, and spending time logging in and doing that can cause an inconvenience. And so a lot of times what we've seen is these healthcare entities not putting in good practices, and user access controls are a critical practice when it comes down to it.
So Troy, we were talking about AI-fueled attacks. How might AI-based security tools help healthcare sector entities improve their cybersecurity posture, especially when they are facing potential attacks by cybercriminals that also have AI tools?
One of the things that AI has done is provided benefits for both the attacker, but also the defender. And really these, there's a number of AI security tools that are out there now. And what the main thing that they help do is allow an organization to be more proactive in their approach. So you're not reactive anymore. And really what these AI tools do, they're able to analyze basically vast amounts of data in real time and really detect any issues or anomalies that could be a potential threat, and then alert upon those potential threats so that the security teams know about it, but they can also take action on that threat. And so you're not waiting for a person to respond. So more real-time threat detection and really kind of helping to get that basically threat neutralized or acted upon by others. And I think that's where we're really seeing AI being a great tool and a necessary tool on our networks. And they're really great at really providing good insights into what's going on the network, because there's so many systems talking to each other, so much data that needs to be processed. And the algorithms, the machine learning that it's able to do, it's really able to identify what's normal traffic versus what's not normal, and then flagging those for potential investigations.
And finally, Troy, what are some of the critical steps that you suggest healthcare sector entities take now to help reduce their risk of falling victim to cyber attacks that involve AI-fueled attacks?
There's a number of steps that healthcare needs to take. One of the first things is to deploy these AI countermeasures, you know, really put in tools that have AI capabilities as a defense mechanism. You know, they're these endpoint detection and response, or the extended detection and response, or the managed detection and response, all provide detection and response capabilities across all systems, so that you're really, again, being proactive in your threat detection and response capability.
Well, thank you so much, Troy. I've been speaking to Troy Hawes. I'm Marianne Kobasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.